with mostly cloudy skies. It's 9:07 at KMAN.
This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. It's a change in voices. Brandon Peoples is off on assignment, and I've stepped into the studio in his stead. Nick McNamara here. And coming up later in the show, we'll have Deb Watkins from T. Russell Wright's Animal Shelter, and we'll have a few folks from Stuff the Bus as well. But sort of playing off of the T. Russell Wright's Animal Shelter theme, we have in studio with us from KSU Vet Med, Dr. Neela Boyer. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, very good. I'm glad to be here.
And how was your, just to start off a little light, how was your weekend? Did you enjoy the 4th and all the festivities surrounding it?
Yes, I guess so. Stayed busy. We get a lot of calls around this time of the year with pets that have anxiety with the fireworks. So we definitely field a lot of calls and help people to get through that time that can be very challenging for mostly dogs especially.
And what are some of the tips maybe that you'll give people who call in related to that? And that's going to play off. We're going to continue into a discussion about separation anxiety as well.
Yeah. So, well, and it's a good point because a good percentage of dogs that have noise and storm phobias also do have separation anxiety. So I think there are some dogs that want to be out there in the neighborhood and with people. And then there are a number of them, probably most of them, that don't want to do any part of that or have any part of that. They want to be in-house. So I think a good point is always thinking about, is there a place in your home that the pet's already selected that might be a good place for them to go? So oftentimes it's an interior room or a basement area that's darker and quieter. So those are the first things. It's kind of keeping in mind, watching for signs of anxiety in those pets. So panting, restlessness, kind of walking around, not wanting to eat treats or food. They just really want to get back in the house. And unfortunately, those days of the booming and banging can go on for a few. So depending on the community you live in, restrictions, those can go on for a while. So it can be quite stressful. And then we'll see some of those pets coming in to the emergency service that have stress-related diarrhea and upset stomach, you know, maybe not just eating the things that they shouldn't have, but just stress-related.
And are there some type of what's one of the main treatment you would give in that situation?
So as far as preventatively, some of them, it is just simply keeping them indoors. I've had people even board pets into areas where it's quieter, you know, having them go stay with family that maybe doesn't live in a community that does shoot fireworks off. Other times it's using medication for them. So either nutraceuticals, things that you can buy over the counter, or medications. Or some of them, they truly need medication. They're so incredibly stressed during that time of the year.
And are thunder vests really effective in that situation?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I guess. There are not really good. There's some small studies that showed some efficacy of some of the type of vests. And I think they're one of those that it's absolutely do no harm. So it's fine to use them as long as you can watch the pet. I think it's a good idea not to leave them on when you're not with them in case they're a fabric chewer. We definitely don't want them to rip apart the vest and eat part of it, because that can happen too.
And this is sort of a travel season. And
Yeah. That
sort of playing off of the, I guess, loud noise anxiety. There's also separation anxiety. And I can tell you, I have a friend with a big old Weimaraner. And if she leaves the house, that dog is howling.
Mm-hmm. It can be very stressful. And we get the people that come in, you know, specifically for that when it's really bad in a lot of cases. But I think, you know, those are ones where they're facing eviction out of an apartment because the dog is barking or howling and neighbors are complaining. But I think we also oftentimes don't get people coming in specifically for that if it's not that bad. And this is a problem that absolutely is a mental health issue in our patients as well, dogs and cats. An estimate I had read is it's about 14% of dogs that seek care in veterinary hospitals actually do have separation anxiety, and it's oftentimes discovered only through conversation with the client that they are experiencing that.
And
cats too.
Yeah, definitely. And so I guess it's interesting that you mentioned it as a mental health situation, because a lot of people maybe don't connect the dots for that in animals too.
Correct. And I think a lot of people, sometimes people are a bit ashamed of how their pet is behaving. They don't, you know, they're upset by the fact that they've urinated or defecated on the floor. They're destroying their property. We see severe cases where pets have left themselves out of the home. They've broken through windows. They've chewed woodwork up around the door where the person has left the building. So there are some cases that are extremely dangerous for the pet. We see pets that come into our dentistry service that have broken their teeth from trying to remove themselves out of a kennel. So it's not just a fact of we put them in the kennel, we go about our day, is we really need to think about, you know, some of them do great and they're happy to be there and no problem, but some absolutely do not like that. They don't enjoy being away from their primary caregiver, and it can be incredibly stressful for caregiver and pet both.
So I guess there's two sides of, to this discussion then, sort of maybe ways to prevent it and right. have a healthy dog or a healthy pet that can withstand being away from their owner for a little. And then a secondary, what, if that's already the case, if they already have that separation anxiety, how do you cope with it?
Correct. Well, the first, I mean, there is some thought that, I mean, some pets do definitely have this problem when they come to their new families. A lot of people do adopt pets, and sometimes pets, we don't even know that this is a problem until they come into a home. Other times, they're young puppies that have this problem, and it. And so many times, it's one that I can't necessarily prevent. There is some work to show on noise phobias that early introduction to some of those things can be very helpful in the first few months of life, having puppies experience some of the sounds like a vacuum cleaner, for example, a blender, different things that you are going to be doing in your home that then can create fear if it's never been exposed to those things. As far as separation anxiety, I think the first thing is working with your doctor to achieve a diagnosis of what the problem is. I've had cases that seem fairly straightforward that the pet has separation anxiety, and in fact, it's they have a squirrel that is in their backyard and it is coming up to the feeders and the dog actually has more predatory response to the squirrel out there, and they're barking and carrying on and they're digging in their kennel trying to get to a, you know, the prey drive. So it is important to first make sure of what we're actually working with. A lot of times we use audio and video surveillance of the pet, and usually signs of separation anxiety, they are before the person leaves, they begin following the person. I've had some dogs that will even try to bite at the person as they're tying their shoes, getting ready to leave. We're picking up our belongings and the pet becomes, you know, hyper attached. And so that's one of the signs that we might see. Other times within 10 minutes of the person leaving, the dog is barking, is destructive, is urinating, defecating, salivating. So signs of definite anxiety. Some of them on surveillance, you'll watch them just repeatedly circle or pace for hours in the home waiting for their person, or just circle in the kennel. So it's quite distressing to see them respond like that. And so we hope that those clients recognize that and help and seek out help.
And like you said, it's not just older dogs. It can be young or older
Absolutely.
Dogs. So it's not 100% a training situation.
No.
It is, as you said, mental health situation.
It is. And dogs are definitely conditioned to be with humans. And so some dogs, and specifically maybe having bigger problem than others, some dogs are more independent and others are more attached to their human beings. So definitely there are patients that we talk about ways to help with basic training. Training, kennel training, I think, is really important in the very early onset in puppies, is getting them used to that. But there is a lot to this problem and some that we don't fully understand.
And as for once the anxiety manifests, once
right.
they already have it, what are some ways to treat it? What are some ways to, I guess, alleviate that anxiety? And is it similar to how you would deal with maybe loud noise anxiety?
To some degree, yes, there are some similarities. So some basic training. So a lot of these pets will work with either a private trainer is oftentimes helpful to come into the home, or a trainer that can they can go to work with some things. I think I always ask people to think about what they do every day before they leave, because many of our pets will chain together those events and realize, like, you take a shower, you pick up your backpack, you jingle your keys, you pick up your purse or briefcase, and those are all signals to your pet that you're leaving. So we talk about ways to reduce those pre-departure cues. We also try to pair departure with something favorable. I oftentimes ask people to, for a period of time before they leave, that we're not cuddling and loving and saying, I'm so sorry, I have to go, because our voices and our anxiety level ourselves of having to leave can amp up, and that can worsen the pet's anxiety of what's to come. And so we oftentimes try to pair that with calm, you know, rewards, things like that. There are some of these guys that are so destructive that we actually involve more private care, daycare, taking the pet with the person for a period of time, if that's even possible, while we're working on the initial management. Thankfully, we do have also medication that can work quickly, and there are some short-acting as well as some long-acting anti-anxiety medications that we will utilize in veterinary medicine as well to help some of those ones that are quite anxious, because I think most of us can attest to, if you're really anxious about something, it's really hard to learn a new skill, to focus on that if you're constantly being, you know, thinking about what you're anxious about. So just like in us, we have to think about how that might affect them and their learning and ability to do so.
And I can tell you that's 100% correct, because whenever I put on my shoes, my cats know.
Yeah.
They know I'm doing something.
Yeah, and I should say for cats too, I mean, cats, some of the key signs that we see with separation anxiety, over-grooming. So some of these cats will come in with hair loss, and the owners aren't really sure where the hair, why are they losing hair? Why are they bald in these certain spots? And it's there are many reasons why they might be bald in certain spots, but that's one of them, is that some cats will over-groom with anxiety. And also we see inappropriate urination, so marking. One of the common things I'll hear about is the person that's getting ready to go for a trip, then they're packing their suitcase and the cat urinates all over their clothing and their suitcase. And you know, I hear my cat really hates me. And what I try to remind them is your cat really loves you, and your cat's really stressed out about what's going on in many cases. Now, there's lots of reasons why cats can do those things. So again, it's involving your veterinary team so that they can help to know if there's a medical problem, or is it a behavioral problem, or is it both that's working together that we need to seek out the underlying cause.
Now, regarding those medications, are they typically in pill form or are there liquids as well?
Depends. I guess the nice thing is that there are a lot of medications that we can have made into forms that are available that will work for your individual pet, whether that's a chew or a tablet, a capsule, a liquid, and oftentimes they can be flavored as well for more friendly ability to give it, because we recognize it can be challenging.
Pilling a cat is not the funnest thing in the world.
Some people are really good at it, and other people are not. So, yeah, we definitely want people to be safe when they're doing those things. So it is a conversation that involves the entire veterinary team. And we do a lot of callbacks on these kind of cases, too, to check in on the family to see how they're doing. This is not a one-size-fits-all sort of plan for every pet, so it does take a team approach.
All right, and I think it's time for our first break of the morning. We'll be back here shortly on In Focus, more with Dr. Neela Boyer. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by ESB Financial. Did you know